Hey, welcome again. We're continuing forward in our Philippians series today. We called this Shine Like Stars. This is part 9 of our Philippians series. We're going to be hitting chapter 2, verses 12 through 18 today. And just a reminder, refresh here, Paul cannot come and encourage his friends in Philippi in person because he's in a Roman prison for the sake of the gospel. He writes this letter to the Philippian church around AD 60 to 62, encouraging them in gospel advance and also encouraging unity within the church. We heard last week about the wonderful attitude and mindset of Christ Jesus. He is our humble servant king who descended from his glory into humanity, submitting himself to death, even on a cross. Here is that God the Father highly exalting him above every other name. He is resurrected to new life, ascended to the right hand of the Father. This is our amazing Jesus, and this Jesus comes humbly. He's confident in who he is. He doesn't need to kind of over-present himself or worry about position. That's his. He's secure, and every knee is going to bow before him as Lord. And because of all this, therefore, that's where we pick up in Philippians 2, 12 through 18. Therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world by holding firm to the word of life. Then I can boast in the day of Christ that I didn't run or labor for nothing, but even if I'm poured out as a drink offering on the sacrificial service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. In the same way, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. We're going to hit just a few things from this passage, and the first one is this. This idea of working out your salvation. We are not working for our salvation. I hope that is clear and has been made clear so far through this series. And Paul makes it clear multiple places in multiple letters to multiple churches. We are not working for our salvation. Go read Ephesians chapters 1 and 2 if you need to be reminded of that. Your salvation is a gift. We are learning to take mature responsibility. Working out for ourselves, N.T. Wright puts it this way, what it means in practice. What does our salvation mean in practice? What does it look like in our context to follow Jesus? How do we apply the pattern and the power of Jesus' life today in, you know, in my city of Spokane, Washington, in our city here, but wherever you are? What is your city? What's the culture in your city? How do you work that out, what it means to follow Jesus and to be a saved, rescued people in your context now? How do I take on being a humble servant of Jesus today and being a humble servant of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Paul is saying, don't wait till I'm with you. You know, it's not just because I'm with you and I show you how to do this and I make sure you do it and I'm constantly reminding you. Even when I'm not with you, it's time to mature and grow up in Christ and work this out, what it looks like for yourselves. I discovered when I first started working out that I had muscles I didn't know I had. As I started trying to work out my abdominal muscles, and I was on this great workout plan, the Power 90. And the Power 90 didn't just have me doing crunches and sit-ups. It had me doing 10 different exercises that worked these muscles and little muscles in those groups I didn't even know I had. I did have them, but I was learning how to work them out. I wasn't earning my muscles. I was developing the muscles that I already have. And sometimes that was painful as I was going, wow, I didn't know even that little muscle group within my abdominals. I didn't even know that was a thing. And now they hurt because they're being worked out and they were being developed. We're to do this with fear and trembling. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean we're so afraid, like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to lose this. Oh, I'm not confident in my salvation. No, fear and trembling is a term, a biblical term, meaning with reverence and devotion. Again, referring to how does N.T. Wright help put this into modern English for us? He says, work this out with utter seriousness. Like, be serious about this. You are a saved, rescued people. Work this out. Take it seriously what it means to be a saved and rescued people in this world that we live in and in the context of a New Testament local church. Take this seriously and remember this. And here's the great news in the middle of the challenge. God himself is at work in us now. And when Paul writes this, this is a plural you. We can tend in our culture to turn things into the very individualistic way of thinking. Like, I have to work out my salvation. But Paul is saying to a group of people, like a church community together, hey, God himself is at work in you together, both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. So this is first a collective promise to the local church. And yes, it's also true for each of us as individuals. God is going to help us do what he's calling us to do. He is working in us to will. So working in us so that we will want what God wants. And he's filling our hearts with a desire to honor him. Do you have a desire in your heart to honor him? God is the one putting that there. So he's working in you, but not only to will, he's also working in you to work, to put feet to your faith, and for us together to put feet to our faith together, energizing our action and putting energizing action to those desires that also come from him. This is Christ's own purpose, to work in us, to help us work out and outwork his purpose in the earth right here, right now. That is amazing. So secondly, shining like stars. He says, you are shining like stars. And he says, you know, not grumbling. We're not a grumbling people. We're not called to be a grumbling people, an arguing people. That's how Israel was in their wilderness years, their years in the desert, constantly grumbling, which had to do with secretly, like kind of we joke about it and talk about it's one of these jokes I grew up with as a kid, people talking about, well, what are you having for lunch after the church meeting? And the joke was, oh, we're having roast pastor, meaning they would go home and then privately talk about the pastor. And it's just a joke, but there's truth in that, isn't there? Where we can secretly be grumbling about leadership or grumbling about the direction that we're going, or maybe grumbling about one another. That's secretly, and then arguing, when Paul uses this term, grumbling is about secretly, privately, and arguing is more openly, publicly, challenging and just not serving Jesus with a cheerful and willing mind, not coming together as the people of God with a cheerful and willing mind. That's how Thayer's, I'm blanking on the term right now, but in his Greek lexicon, he talks about this. The opposite of grumbling and arguing is with a cheerful and willing mind. That's how we are called to work out our own salvation together. That's how we're called to be relating to one another with a cheerful and willing mind. So he says, so you may be blameless, meaning no one can easily fault you for your grumbling and bickering. Pure, which means unmixed. There's this pure devotion to Jesus, pure in our relationships to one another. So you may be blameless, pure, children of God. And here's a reminder in 1 John 3:1, children of God, he says, that is what we are. We're not trying to become children of God or earn being children of God. No, we have been adopted into the family. Children of God is who we are. You know the phrase where it says the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? That can be taken negatively. It can be taken positively when people are talking about children being similar to their parents and they go, oh yeah, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Well, guys, in Christ Jesus, we have been adopted into this family and given a new identity. And guess what? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. We are becoming more and more like Jesus, being able to engage with the mission of God together without grumbling and arguing. No, we can do it with a cheerful and willing mind, a people made blameless. Like, that's who we are, a blameless people. And now we're becoming who we are. That's pretty cool. Our attitudes and actions are very stark, like a stark contrast to this world around us. And as we're becoming more and more like Jesus, people will also see more and more, ah, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You guys look like Jesus. You sound like Jesus. You act like Jesus. And Paul says that we stand out like stars in a dark sky. Right? Faultless and a crooked and perverted generation. This is who we are. It's just who we are. We're already doing this, which is why people are watching to see what these stars are saying and doing and demonstrating. The fire and light of God Himself is blazing in us. Every star, if you look at the night sky, those little lights that you see in the sky, every one of those stars is a blazing, mighty sun. Wow. And he says, you are stars in a night sky. We have the blazing fire of God in us. And how do we shine? He says, by holding firm to the word of life. That's the gospel. Holding firm to the word of life for ourselves in our belief and in our action. You know, Paul talks about the obedience of faith in Romans 1:5. We're holding firm to the word of life, following Jesus' instruction in faith and in obedience, and then holding out the word of life to the world around us. So, theologians and scholars debate, does this mean we hold firm to the word, or does it mean we hold out the word? And the Greek word can mean either of these things. And so the answer is, are we holding firm to the word of life, or are we holding out the word of life? Yes. The answer is yes. Hold firm to the gospel, and in that, hold out the gospel to others. We are shining with the gospel in a dark world. Now, the third thing we want to hit here is Paul talks about boasting in fruitful labor. He says, your maturity in Christ, church, your maturity in Christ is my boast. Your faith is my reward. He's looking forward to standing before Jesus and all the people that he has been able to affect and influence, and the people that are coming to maturity in Christ because of him. He says, that's going to be part of my reward when I stand before Jesus. This is thinking like a father. Paul is thinking like a father. He's seeing the church, not just as a group of people to be fixed or developed, but he's seeing them as his family and like children that he's raising up. Seeing his children thrive is his greatest joy outside of his own relationship with Jesus. Wow. So as we are working out our own salvation and taking responsibility for our faith, part of that is thinking like fathers, thinking like mothers, thinking like leaders who can rejoice in the success and the growth of others. Remember Jesus, who's not seeing equality with God like something to be grasped or something to be exploited. He doesn't need to compete for power and position. Paul doesn't either. Paul's like, we don't need to compete. I'm going to rejoice and celebrate in your victories and your successes in the gospel. One of our values within Regions Beyond is that we are there for one another's success, and we can rejoice in the success of one another. Isn't that better than competing with one another for attention, for position? Oh, on a local church level and across the nations, we can shine so brightly when we're just enjoying and celebrating one another. Our sacrifice together, Paul talks about his sacrifice and the sacrifice of the Philippian church. So our sacrifice together, mine mingled with yours, is cause for great rejoicing. Paul isn't even sure in this situation, is he going to survive this Roman prison experience? Is he going to go to trial and be executed for the sake of the gospel? Or is he going to get out? He's not sure how this is going to go. We know from earlier in the letter, he's pretty confident that he's going to get out. And yet he recognizes, I might die. His life, the way he puts it, his life may be poured out in the days ahead. And he sees this as a beautiful sacrifice. And he wants the Philippians to be thinking the same way. If Paul were writing to us today, he would want us thinking the same way too, celebrating the sacrifices of one another, celebrating the service of one another, celebrating the faith exploits of one another, and celebrating the opportunities to shine. He's in prison and he sees it as an opportunity to shine. And he said, hey, church, you guys, your whole life is an opportunity to shine. So I have a couple of questions. Where is your faith mature, standing well on its own? Where do you feel like, wow, I'm shining in this area? And it's okay to think about that. Where do you feel like you're strong in the gospel and shining? And this week in our community groups, we're going to talk about this. We're going to have a chance to talk about, hey, these are areas where I feel like I have strength in the gospel and areas where I'm still maturing, where my faith is still maturing. You know, so that's the second question. Where is your faith still maturing? Is there an area where you struggle to obey or shine when no one is watching? You know, when the leaders aren't around reminding you this is exactly how to do it. Is there an area where you're struggling? You know, where do you sense a specific need and desire to grow? And I don't mean just in bad ways, in very positive ways. Like, where is God challenging you to grow? Like, I want you to be shining in this area. Where's maybe just one area? Be good to think through that. One area in your life where God's wanting you to grow. That could even be in the same area where you say, I feel pretty strong in this, and I also feel a tug, like God is growing me even more. Here's the good news. God is fully present, fully engaged to help you and me, to help us together mature in that area today. Father, thank you for this excellent news, Lord, that you're calling us to mature and grow up in you, to work out what it means to be your people in our context. But Lord, that you also have great intent to help us shine like stars. And thank you for your word that just reminds us we already are shining like stars. Lord, help us shine boldly, brightly, clearly with the good news of Jesus Christ. Help us shine together in our relationships as a local church, in our relationships together, in our friendships. Lord, as we're just being caught up on mission together, help us shine even more brightly for your kingdom, representing you, Lord Jesus. I pray that in your name. Amen.